You may want to pull out a bulletin insert that gives you an outline and some room to take some notes on. Again, our text, as Ryan Turner read it, was from John chapter 20, verses 20 through 33. And we'll be referencing that throughout. This morning, I'm depending on and leaning on chapters 13 through 15 of John Ortberg's book that we've been doing a study on through this season. And I start off with a story that is in that book in chapter 15. On that first Easter morning, that first Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb to find that the stone had been rolled away. And in their amazement, they heard the angel say to them, "He is not here. He is risen. Go and tell his disciples." And in their fear and amazement, they ran into the risen Christ and fell at his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Greetings." Seems like kind of a short response for the context of a conversation, but that's what he said. I would have thought, well, let me explain what has just happened, but no, Jesus just said, "Greetings." And commentator Dale Bruner said in our modern vernacular, in Aramaic, that word "greetings" would be more like, "Hey, how you doing? Hi." And a young youth director was doing a children's sermon. His name was Skip Fio, and Ortberg tells how he was telling this story, trying to explain this conversation with the children in his church. And before he could get to the point where he was explaining Jesus' greeting, he said, "Imagine what Jesus said." And one young girl piped up, like some of our kids do here in our church, and she said, "Ta-da! That's what Jesus said." And that's probably as good a translation as any of that greeting. This morning, we look at that story, actually the 3 days that formed that. In our scripture text, it said that on the third day, that Sunday was the third day, more than implying that there were three significant days in this. Friday, Good Friday, Saturday, Holy Saturday, and Sunday. And these are 3 days upon which all of Western civilization turns, the hinge of human history. Augustine said that the turning point, not just the history of the people of Israel, but the history of the entire world, had been reached with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah. Both by the end of the third century, Rome's old 8-day week had been replaced by the 7-day calendar of Israel and the church. 600 years after Jesus was raised, a Scythian monk named Dionysius of Jesus proposed a new system of reckoning history centered not on the pagan myth of the founding of Rome, but on the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus. In a nice parable about how the church often errs and makes mistakes, he miscalculated, so it turns out Jesus was most likely born 4 years before Christ. Figure that out. B.C., A.D. The fact remains that 2,000 years and more after the birth of this carpenter, every time anyone in the world opens a calendar, unfolds a newspaper, boots up a computer, he or she is reminded that Jesus Christ, in fact, has become the hinge of human history. Caesar's, Nero, Domitian died. Nero died in the year of our Lord, A.D. 68. Napoleon emperor of the world at that point, died in the year of our Lord, 1821. Joseph Stalin died in the year of our Lord, 1953. Maybe when Jesus stood on the earth, he was not recognized King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But how strange that every ruler, every emperor, every king, queen, president who has ever reigned must be dated in reference to the life of Jesus. These 3 days changed everything and can change us forever. Who is this man? The unpredictable impact and influence of the life and teaching of Jesus Christ that changed the world through his teaching, through his followers, as this movement has grown. Things have changed in education, in medicine, in politics, the way we view children, the way we view women, the way we view disabled and those in need. Throughout these 5 weeks, we've been considering how Jesus changed the world and changes us. Good Friday, Holy Saturday, as it says on my United Methodist program calendar, and Easter Sunday are the focus or the heart of our Christian faith. Christ's death and resurrection are core essentials, fundamental, foundational to our beliefs as Christians. More is written on the events of these 3 days than anything else that has ever happened in the world. And 1/3 of all 4 of the Gospels combined focuses on these 3 days, the life and biographies of Jesus in the Scriptures. 1/3. So it's quite a challenge to fit all that into 20 minutes. And the last 3 chapters of Ortberg's book, I'm leaning on that rather heavily here. First of all, as we consider who is this man, let's look at Friday. Friday, the day Christ died. Often called Good Friday. It's a curious name for such a notorious day of tragedy. A day of extraordinary suffering. A day of excruciating pain. A day of extreme execution of the worst kind. On that day, the one truly, the one totally innocent, Son of God, the Messiah, suffered and died. It was bad for Christ, but good for us, hence Good Friday, because it is through his death and through that day that we can receive salvation, forgiveness, mercy, and redemption by his sacrifice. Bad for Christ, but good for us. But Jesus did have options. He wasn't simply a victim on that day. If you think about Gethsemane, the story of the human race began in a garden with a man called Adam. The story of the one who is called the second Adam would end in a garden also. Jesus was in a garden, and he still had many options. He could fight like the zealots. He was young. He had charisma. Crowds would follow him to the death. He could do that. Or he could withdraw like the Jewish religious sect of the Essenes. He could go into the desert and start a safe little community. Many would follow him even into the wilderness. He could collaborate with the chief priests and the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees. Imagine what reformed Jesus could bring to the temple if he had access to that platform for his teaching. He could try to cut a deal with Pilate. Imagine influencing the Roman Empire from the inside. What strategy? What might that do for the world? He could call on God to deliver him. He could ask to be spared. He could call upon 10,000 angels to deliver him. But he chose not to. He did none of these. Setting aside questions about his divinity and his identity, this is what Jesus did. This one lone, deserted, vulnerable man decided, I know what I must do. I will not fight. I will not run. I will not deal. I will not dazzle. I will die. And then he prayed, Father, not my will, but yours be done. He came to believe that his real messianic fate, the real messianic calling from his Father, was not to conquer, but to die. To die out of love for others. And so he did. Jesus' sacrificial choice was explained in passage in John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. You remember how Jesus foretold this as he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for his sheep. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back up again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again. This is what my Father has commanded. Pastor, preacher, teacher, author Rob Bell has said, today we live between the trees. The tree of life in the Garden of Genesis, Paradise Lost, and at the complete other end of the Scriptures in Revelation, again, the same tree, the tree of life, found on the banks of the River of Life. But in the middle of these two bookends of all of human history, we have another tree, a tree called Calvary, the cross upon which he died. We live between the trees. Saturday is a curious day, the day of silence and waiting. So far as we know, there has only been one day in the last 2,000 years when literally not one person in the whole world believed that Jesus was alive. This isn't Sunday. This isn't Friday. It's Saturday, the day after this, but the day before that. The day after a prayer gets prayed, but there is no answer on the way. The day after a soul gets crushed way down and there's no promise ever getting up off the mat. It's a strange day, this in-between day. In between despair and joy, in between confusion and clarity, in between bad news and good news, in between darkness and light. Everyone knows Saturday. Everyone has Saturdays. Saturday is the dream, the day your dream died. You wake up and you're still alive. You have to go on, but you don't know how. Worse, you don't know why. Just like Jesus' followers then. There are days like that. Saturday is an odd day, raising a question. Why is there a Saturday? In the Scriptures, it doesn't seem to further the storyline at all, except that there needs to be a Saturday for there to be a third day. We would expect that if Jesus was going to be crucified, then resurrection, God would just get on with it. Seems strange that God would spread these two events out to make 3 days. But in its own way, perhaps Saturday should mark the world as much as Friday and Saturday. I said before that Saturday is a day in which nothing happens. That's not quite right. Silence happens on Saturday. After trouble hits, after the agony of Friday, you call out to God. Hear me. Listen to me. Respond to me. Do something. Say something. Rescue me. Nothing. On Saturday, in addition to the pain of Friday, there's the silence and the pain of the apparent absence of God. Are you in the middle of a personal Saturday in your life? For example, a husband, a father wants more than anything in the world to save his marriage. His wife will not listen and will not help. He's not perfect, not by a long shot, but he wants to do what he wants to do, a really good thing. He can't find out and figure out why his wife won't respond to him. He can't stand what it's doing to his children. Heaven is silent. It's a Saturday. A mom and a dad find out that the child they love has a terminal illness. They pray like crazy, but again, there's only silence. She's getting worse. You lose a job, you lose a friend, you lose your health, you have a dream for your child, and on Friday it dies. What do you do on Saturday? You could choose despair. You could choose denial. Or you could choose wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait in faith, trust, and belief. Work with God, even when He feels far away. Rest. Ask. Whine. Complain. Trust and wait on Him. It's Saturday, but we have the promise that Sunday's coming. Sunday is coming, and it's a day of hope. Sunday, the day of hope, that first Easter morning, everything changed. He lives. There is hope, and that hope has not been extinguished. Jesus' followers on that first Sunday believed that He was the Messiah, that He would overthrow Rome and usher in His kingdom, but Jesus died. When this happened, even though He had predicted it, none of His followers said, everything's going according to plan now. All four of the Gospels in Scripture give us very unflattering portraits of what happened to His disciples when He died. His disciples were disheartened, dismayed, disappointed, disillusioned, and dispirited, and then suddenly, they weren't. They saw an empty tomb, which told them that their sightings of Jesus were not hallucinations. They saw a live person, which told them the empty tomb was not the result of a body snatching. They remembered what Jesus said not long before He died. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Sunday, they began to understand. This is a revolution. We know the revolutionary's name, Jesus. We know where He lived. We know how He lived. We know what He taught. And we know how He died. This is, Jesus said, the way life works. you and I have to be willing to sacrifice something if there is ever going to be the way it's supposed to be. No sacrifice, no harvest, no sowing, no reaping, only it isn't seeds this time. This time it involves you and me. What got released on that first Easter Sunday was hope. Not hope, not only hope that the world would turn out well, not only hope that there will be life after death, though there is that. Hope called people to die. Die to selfishness and sin, fear and greed. Die to a lesser life of a lesser self. So that the greater self might be born. And many people did. With this hope, we make this same choice today. As Jesus said to the crowd in Luke chapter 9, if any of you wants to follow me, if any one of you wants to be my disciple and be a follower of me, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. There's the mystery of the seed. Easter, the hope of heaven, the hope of new life, the hope of salvation from sin, from Satan, from death itself. And with this Easter hope, we can follow him, taking up our cross, dying to self, dying to sin, dying to old ways, old patterns. There's the challenge. Only with faith in resurrection hope that new life can come, can we have the confidence of new life, as Sunday is surely coming. Jesus invited his disciples to come and see. Philip went to say to Nathanael, come and see. The angel said to the women, come and see the place where he lay. Come and see the cross where he died. Come and see the grave where he was laid. Come and see the stone rolled away. This is an invitation to a great adventure, an Easter adventure for all of us. For we have that promise of a day coming that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Those who have this hope purify themselves, even as Christ is pure. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power of your word, for the challenge of the gospel. We thank you that you have come to change the world. You've come to change us. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves, to follow you, to lay aside all that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, to die to our old way of life and live to Christ, that Christ may be seen in us. Come and be born in us again. Come and make us new with Easter resurrection, new life, that we might bring glory and honor to you and live with peace and joy in this life, that in the world to come we may have life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen.